Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Katie Neal. Welcome back to the Katie and Company podcast. This week on the show, I got to sit down with one of my favorite people ever to interview and just chat with, Thomas Rhett. He is always in a good mood. I mean, like most artists are, but a lot of times like they've had a long day when I'm about to sit down with them. But Thomas Rhett is always just like on it, in it, excited to talk. And I always walk away just feeling like, wow, what a great conversation. This time we got to talk all about his song headed to the top of the charts, Mama's House with Morgan Wallen, which came from a Zoom write the two were doing in 2020. And at the beginning of it, Morgan Wallen got a call from his grandma. They wrote this song inspired by that phone call and then kind of thought they would never really do anything with it. And then Thomas Rhett was surprised, you know, at the reaction it was having and decided to release it as a single, which is really exciting. We also talked all about the new music he's been working on. We talked about his adorable little girls, who I think are just so cute, and how he took his oldest two on a duck hunting trip. We also talked about how he's trying really hard to be a better horse rider, a better horseman, and I love talking to Thomas Rhett. So I really hope that you enjoy our conversation. Back to keep us company all this week on the Superstar Power Hour with another song making its way up the chart. Thomas Rhett, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited to see the song doing so well.
Me too.
I want to talk about this.
It's a big surprise.
Is it?
For me, it was. Yeah.
Why?
I think because we wrote this song so long ago, and when we released it, there was never a plan. There was never like a plan for it to go like on a radio chart of any kind. It was just like, this is cool that we did this together. Let's put it out. Mm-hmm. And I think now to see it, you know, kind of organically making its way up the chart is really special. So
let's talk about the day that you and Morgan Wallen wrote this song. It was on Zoom, and I think it was like 2020, right? So it is like a pretty 4 years old.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, first time we'd ever written together. And the whole song literally was sparked by a phone call that he got in the middle of that write from his grandmother, his memaw, which if you listen really close in the beginning of that tune, that's actual like recording of like him getting that phone call during our Zoom session. And so, yeah, we walked away from that being like, cool, man. Glad we wrote a song about our grandparents. Moving on. You know what I mean? You know, then 3 or 4 years later, I guess this would have been like 8 or 9 months ago. I was like, do you mind if I put this song out? And he was like, yeah, I love that song. So
I was going to say, yeah, how did you decide who was going to cut it? And then like, were you immediately like, do you want to sing on it with me?
Yeah, I think in the beginning it was just like, I wonder if this is going to be on his record. I wonder if it's going to be on mine. And then it wasn't on either of our records. And then I think you write so many songs that at some point songs just sort of make their way not into the batch. But I think when I was putting together, you know, this 20 number ones vinyl, I wanted to at least put a new song on there. And I was going through catalog, and I had already been working on a new project anyway. I was like, man, we wrote this song 3 years ago. This deserves to come out now. And so we put it out, and man, people just started playing it. It was really cool.
How many songs are in the Thomas Rhett archive of uncut gems that are just sitting there?
I would say
if you were back 3 years, I can only imagine what that looks like.
Yeah, thousands. I mean, I feel like at least every year there's another, you know, 100, 200 songs that are written.
Yeah.
You know, when you make a record, today you get a lot of chances because a lot of people are making records with 20 and 30 songs on them. But for the longest time in my career, it was like, you know, what are your favorite 15?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you're writing 200 songs to figure out what 15 things you want to say to the world. It's pretty wild when you think about it.
It's a really hard process. Keith Urban and I were just talking about this. We were talking about Rick Rubin's The Creative Way and the way
I've been listening to that.
I just listened to it too. Isn't it so good? The gong at the end of every chapter.
Yeah. And no,
like
it's
the
amazing.
Things that he says in there are amazing. But we talked about, he's like, you know, if you have 24 songs and you think you need 12, cut it to 6 and then you'll find the 12.
Yeah, we did. So we have a new project coming out this year, and that was sort of the game that we played early on. And it's really challenging because we recorded like almost 30 songs for this next project. And we played a game of like, okay, we're making an 11 song album. Go. You know what I mean?
What are they?
And you got to get real, real, real picky. You know what I mean? Because you start to cut even down into the number 15 region when you've already tried to cut from 30. Mm-hmm. You go, yeah, but what about that song? But like, But I think this group of people will like this song. And at the end of the day, it's just like, it's really hard to make an 11 song album.
For sure. What can you say about this new project that you've been working on other than you're trying to get it to 11 songs?
Yeah. We talked before our interview started just about how, you know, I wrapped up my tour in October of last year, where I'm doing like 30 shows this year. So this is like the most time on purpose that I've ever had to like actually make an album.
Yeah.
You know, every other record I've made has been play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, get off the road, cram some vocals in Monday, Tuesday, go back on the road, write on the road, come back, record, sing vocals, go back on the road, write, record, put a record out, put a single, make a video, do it. You know what I mean? And it's like this never, it's fun, but it's like this never ending wheel of making and writing and doing the thing. And so I've always been really jealous of people that actually had 6 months to go make an album.
Yeah.
Where it was the only thing that they thought about.
You've also, in all of that you just mentioned, you also had 4 children in that time
span. I also had 4 children. Yeah, I mean, like, no free time did not exist.
No.
And so, you know, I think there was something that happened in me, like, after I had my 20th hit. It maybe it was selfish, but I felt like I just deserved a break. You know what I mean? From the hamster wheel, if you will.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to write without having to think about a show or a tour. And I got to, like, go in and be super critical. And I got to change things over and over and over. And I got to re-sing songs. And I got to try new melodies. I basically got to do everything that I've never really had the time to do, which is a roundabout way of saying, like, we recorded way too many songs. And now we're sort of, like, in that phase of, like, okay, I think it's done. But it's been the coolest process ever to be able to, like, really take a minute and put your blinders on and be like, what record do I want to go make?
Yeah.
So.
And as I feel like if you've been listening to that Rick Rubin book that it's probably also been very influential in
no
making
doubt.
This record, definitely.
No doubt. I think that one of the coolest things Rick said was like, man, which is so hard to kind of agree with because he was like, you're making this record for yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you kind of go,
it's for the fans, but it's
you kind of go, am I? You know what I mean? Am I making this for people or am I making this for me? You know, and I think some of the best bits of music that I have made have been like, man, this just feels so good to me. I hope there's 15 million other people in the world that feel the same way.
No, totally.
You know what I mean?
You said to me once that you hadn't done it yet and you weren't sure if you had it in you to turn in a record and like feel completely like that was the best body of work you've ever made.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that with this or do you feel like you're getting closer to that?
Yeah, I think I've figured out why that is the way that it is. And I think the reason is like while you're making a record, music is coming out from the rest of the world. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So things that you thought were cool in January, well, it's August now, and you've heard your peers do what they're doing, and you're sitting there going, gosh, should we do more of that? Like, are we outdated now? Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like,
don't think it's cool anymore.
Like, yeah, it takes so long to make a project. Like, in a dream perfect world, if you could write a song and bottle up that feeling that you and your co-writers get when you like listen down to the demo for the first time, if you could put that song out right then, it would be a game changer. You know what I mean? Because you are now equally as excited as you'll ever be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The more you live with music, the more you go, is it still cool? You know what I mean? Like, is it as cool as I thought it was like 8 months ago? And the answer is yes. It's just like as an artist, I think artists in general are very overthinking individuals.
For sure.
But I think that's it. I think the reason you feel like you're never done is because you keep hearing things that come out and you go, does this stand up?
Yeah.
Does this hold up to what's happening right now in music?
When you get to that point where you're like starting, you've listened to a song over and over again, you're starting to doubt it a little bit, or like you said, you're less excited. Do you have like, who's your inner circle of people that you like run music through? Like, I imagine probably like your wife, your dad, maybe. Yeah. Like, who's kind of the sounding board for stuff like that?
Yeah, I think on this record, that group has been smaller than it's ever been, because I think I can opinion myself into or out of something.
Or just to death, yeah.
To death. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think all that I'm really looking for in an opinion is I'm looking for you to affirm what I already believe to be
validation,
true.
Validation, yeah.
I'm looking for validation. And when you don't get that validation, it literally can... I've had it happen so many times where I've been like, this song is a smash. This is my favorite thing I've ever written in my life. And then you play it for a friend and they go, nah. And you literally in 2 seconds, you can literally go from, I think this is the best thing I've ever done, to this is trash.
Like, no, totally.
You know what I'm saying? With an opinion. And so I sort of was really careful this go around to like not let a lot of people in on the process of this, because I was having so much fun. I am having so much fun making it, that this is the first time that I've like actually sat my wife down and I said, hey, let's plan a date for me to play you this album. Because it's always sort of been like, she's always gotten to hear it all the way through, you know? But this was sort of like, hey, these are the decisions that I have made.
Yeah.
Here.
I'm not asking for validation now. And I'm just going to let you in.
That's been the hardest part. It has been like, hey, when I play this for people, it's like, hey, I want you to like it, but I'm telling you this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's been a wild little process.
For sure. It's so funny when you were talking about how like you can go from loving a song to thinking it's trash. It made me think of one time I was asking Sam Hunt something similar.
Yeah.
And he told me that he played Body Like a Back Road, and his friends were like, I just don't get it. I don't think it's for you. And I'm like, thank God you didn't listen. Like a diamond song.
Dude.
Now.
You also like, I think what you have to learn how to do like as an artist, and something I wish I'd known early on, is like the people that artists play these records for to get feedback are not even the demographic.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
More often than not, yeah.
More often than not, you're not really even playing this music for people that are coming to your concerts because they want to be there.
1,000%.
Does that make sense?
Sometimes somebody will send me a song and like, you know, my boss will ask me like, what do you think about this? And I'll be like, hang on, I'm going to send this back to my friends back in Bartonville, Illinois, who I know are out day drinking right now. I want to know what they think about
it. Exactly. Because they're the people that genuinely are the people that get a say-so.
Yeah. And they're also not like jaded by listening to a million
jaded.
Songs
not,
all the
not,
time.
They're not so inside the 615, the Nashville, because it's like we can overanalyze a song to death, and it's like, well, I don't know, man. Like if you do this, then you can't do that. And at the end of the day, it's just like people are like songs or they don't, and so
and no one can pick a hit. I don't care what anyone says.
No, and I think like this go around, there are three individuals that are not in the music business, and they're like between the ages of 18 and 24, that are just friends of mine that I sent everything to in real time.
Really?
Yeah. And I was just like, hey, it's either a yes or a no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'd never done that before. Like sent it to like sort of the demographic, if you will. Like real fans of music that are not jaded by the music business.
Yeah.
And man, it was just like a fascinating way to like get feedback on songs.
That's the way to test music.
Yeah.
Like if you can't do it at a live show, this is a good litmus test.
Yeah, for sure.
We were talking a little bit about your wife is traveling this week, so you got the four girls. How's everyone been doing?
Everybody's alive.
Alive.
Yeah, everyone is alive and well. Yeah, but this is like day one. So
yeah,
there's 3 days left.
We'll check in on you day four and see how it's going.
For sure.
I feel like the girls are getting so big. Sometimes I see you post them and I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe like Willa Gray's like a full grown like
Dude,
girl.
Yeah, she's a second grader. She's 8 years old. She looks like she's about 14 or 15.
Yes.
And acts like she's 14 or 15.
You got a lot of that coming your way.
Dude, yeah, it's starting to get real. Like it's starting to get to the point of that parenting bit where time moves fast, you know, but you don't think it really moves that fast. It's starting to feel fast now.
You guys got to be like about out of diapers for the first time. You are.
Well,
close?
Close. I would say we're 6 months away.
Oh my gosh. That's thrilling.
Dude, I know. I mean, I'm telling you, I think like this is me and Lauren are in a phase of life right now where party is not the word, but like we're partying again.
Yeah. Amazing.
You know what I mean? Like it makes me sound super old. It's just the fact that I have four kids under the age of six. It's just, it's like we are now like going on dates and staying out till 11:30. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound crazy to the rest of the world, but I think if you're a parent, you understand what I'm saying of like,
for sure.
Sort of just feels like we're coming up for air right now.
Yeah. So there's got to be a moment where you look at each other and you're like, we survived.
Yeah, and it's an exciting feeling.
I'm sure
it's
it
a
is.
Very exciting
a
feeling.
A new season of life, which will be awesome. I saw that you took your two oldest out on a duck hunt trip. How was that?
It was an experience for sure.
Especially hunting with girls. I remember the first time I went with my dad, I like fell asleep against a tree, and that's like my only memory of it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was because Willa Gray has been begging me to go for a couple years. Because
really?
She watches me every December, you know, pack up my stuff and go to Arkansas a few times in the year to duck hunt. It's one of my favorite things to do. And so we got to duck camp somewhere in West Tennessee, and I taught him how to shoot like a little single shot 410, which is like the first shotgun I ever learned how to shoot as a kid. And it was a blast. Willa Gray got her first duck, and it was like, I don't know, it was one of those moments where I wanted everybody that said, man, you need a boy. You're like, you need to have a boy. I'm like, man, these girls are tough.
Yeah, I was just thinking that when you said that. I was like, you probably imagined at some point in your life, like, oh, I can't wait to do this with my son, and you're out there with girls having a blast.
Maybe even more fun, honestly. To be honest with you. Yeah, they're the best. I love, genuinely love being a girl dad. So.
Oh, that's so fun. And I know that they were getting very into horse riding, and you were also trying to be a better rider.
Yeah.
We all
have the bug. I will never claim to be a cowboy as long as I live. But we have surrounded ourselves with a lot of people that are legit cowboys and cowgirls, and getting to watch, you know, people rope the way that they do and cut the way that they do. I've just been trying to learn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I will be a rookie, I think, for forever. But it has been really fun because my wife grew up with horses. I grew up terrified of horses. I don't know why.
Did you have a traumatic experience or something?
I just didn't grow up around them. Mm-hmm. I got thrown off of one a couple years ago in Wyoming, and I was like, I will never get back on a horse.
Well, yeah, that'll do it to you.
And then we bought three horses.
You've told me you're like this before, like shoes, jeans. Now, right now, it's horses.
Yeah, it's but yeah, like we have a farm west of Tennessee, and we literally spent the last couple years turning it into a horse farm, built a barn, built fencing, built an arena. So like we are invested.
You're invested. And I feel like I recently have started to think like maybe I should take some lessons, because I feel like it's probably a really relaxing activity once you get into it and feel better and feel comfortable. Like people talk often about like how therapeutic it is almost.
It is. And you know, the reason I love it is because I have a really hard time shutting my brain off from work or anything. Mm-hmm. And so like when you're riding a horse, unless you're just kind of chilling, cruising through a field, like it really does take a lot of focus, you know? Like me and Lauren went out for the first time the other day without the girl that helps train me and Lauren. And we went out and did it all, like saddled them up and got on our trails at our farm. And I was nervous.
Really?
Like legit. Like Lauren's always super calm. I haven't been in enough scenarios with a horse where things have gone wrong to know, can I rein this back in?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we rode 5 miles like around our farm, up and down these trails, in the woods, through thorn bushes, down really steep hills where I was like, man, if this horse trips, we're both going. You know what I'm saying? And it was like one of the most invigorating moments of my life.
Really?
Like, to get back to the barn and be like, we did it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's so fun.
So, but yeah, I'm like, I will never claim to be an experienced horseman, but I'm really, really enjoying just being around them and learning from them. It's amazing how well they can read your energy. And I think they know that I'm pretty strung up. So.
But that hopefully will get easier
100%.
With time. Before we wrap up, something I wanted to ask you about, you know, I think we've all been kind of like still reeling from the devastating loss of Toby Keith earlier this month. And I thought that your post was so beautiful. And I also like thought about how you have such an interesting perspective about knowing him, because we all grew up with his music, but you genuinely, you ran around with your dad.
Yeah.
You knew him. Mm-hmm. What were some of like your earliest memories from meeting him or just like having him around in your life?
Yeah. You know, I feel very lucky because I got to meet and know so many of the people that I'm like friends with today when I was like 8 or 9 years old. You know what I mean? I think my dad was sort of really relevant in country music from like 1994 till like 2001. You know what I mean? So I would have been like 4 to like 12 during that time period. And so I feel like I got to like meet the Clint Blacks and the Toby Keiths and the Reba McEntires, and my dad would, you know, do life with these people. And so that picture that I posted of me and Toby, I think was at a charity golf tournament that Toby had put on. And I don't remember a ton from being young and meeting a lot of these people. But what I do remember most about Toby was that he was like literally the first person to ever bring me on the road. You know what I mean? Like I was fresh out of college, just signed a record deal, had never had a hit. And for some reason, maybe because he knew my dad and thought it would be cool to have Rhett's son on the road or whatever. But God, it was like one of the coolest years of my life, getting to tour with a legend and an icon, you know, like Toby Keith, and get to watch him on stage and also get to just hang out with him after shows. Like when my dad would come on the road, we would sit on Toby's bus until 4 o'clock in the morning. I wouldn't say a word.
I'm sure, yeah.
Just like listening to them, you know, back and forth about stories and passing the guitar back and forth and playing every country, rock, pop, hip hop song you could ever think of. And they know they're both of them are walking jukeboxes. But man, I feel like Toby really, really brought me and my band in like family that year, because, and I watched him treat his band and crew like family, which is where I feel like our tour today really gravitates around, like loving each other and like just it being a family on the road, you know? So yeah, I mean, hearing of him passing, it's one thing, you know, to just to mourn the death of a superstar and a legend. But I think when you really knew Toby, like he was just like a sweet guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of intimidating.
For sure.
Actually really intimidating.
Just huge.
But such a sweet guy and somebody that could tell a story better than anybody else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Really, really sad. But, you know, he's resting well now. So
no, definitely. He did tell a story better than anyone. I was going back when we were putting together a tribute, just listening to old interviews and like stories he had told about his USO tours. And I was like, this guy lived some life.
For sure.
Yeah.
He lived a lot of life.
For sure.
That's right.
Well, Thomas Rhett, thank you so much for talking to us about this single, about this album.
Of course.
About your family and sharing so much. It was so good to see you. I can't wait to hear the rest of this record.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.